But the primary ingredient in bread that really determines its flavor and texture is the flour. And so good flour is fundamental to making good bread. There are a lot of components to flour, but the primary component in making a good risen bread or yeast bread is gluten. And so flours that are low in gluten make poorer breads than flours that are high in gluten.
Okay.
And this happens to be determined by the type of flour and when it's grown. There's spring wheats and summer wheats, and they vary in their gluten content. And the better flour companies blend different flours to have a consistently good amount of gluten in their flour.
Okay.
The other thing that's important is to use an unbleached flour, because the bleaching process, which is used to lighten the flour, make it look whiter than it is naturally, it's trying to accelerate the process of nature, because oxygen in the air will bleach the flour anyway, but to accelerate it, some companies use bleach. And
wow.
That tends to weaken the structure of the flour, and it makes a poorer bread. It does, however, make a better pizza or better donuts, because you don't want a tough pizza or a tough donut. You want something that's fairly mm-hmm. easy to break apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so those types of flours that are lower in gluten are actually better for some products
okay.
than others, but not for breads.
Okay. Now, also, breads have an expiration date or so. How do you know you're getting fresh flour? Or is that not a big issue with the bread?
It's an issue with your whole grains, because they have oils in them and they can become rancid. But regular flours, regular white flours, do not have an expiration date as long as they're kept in a very tightly sealed, dry container away from insects. The biggest problem with flours or any type of product that has grain in it is insects that you might bring home from the supermarket in a box of cereal. They can infest your whole pantry.
Yep.
The best thing to do is to keep it in a tightly sealed container. This is the container I keep my flour in.
Mm-hmm.
It has a hermetic seal on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I also throw a couple of bay leaves into the container. And the bay leaves tend to discourage infestations by weevils, which are one of the animals that products that get into flour and can destroy it.
Weevils?
Weevils.
What are they?
They're little insects, and they're nasty little things to get into your flour, but bay leaves tend to discourage them.
Okay, because I have these flying, they look like little moths, is that?
Moths. You don't want them in your flour either.
I have them. I do. And I tried it, but you said they can come
I hope you left them home. At
yeah.
any rate, I keep a couple of bay leaves in the flour jug,
That's
and it's important that you have entire bay leaves and not parts of a bay leaf, so that when you go in there to fetch it out before you make bread, you know that you've gotten the whole bay leaf out.
Okay, good.
Okay? I'd like to talk about types of flour real quick, and then we'll move on. There are different types of white flour. As I mentioned, there's bleached and unbleached, and then there are bread flours and regular flours, or all-purpose flours.
Mm-hmm.
This would be an all-purpose flour. This is Hecker's brand. It's a good high-gluten flour. My preference is typically King Arthur, but when you can't find King Arthur, Hecker's is a good equivalent substitute. They're both available locally at most of your area markets.
Okay.
And these are all-purpose flours. They can be used for almost all the breads you might want to make. They can also be used for whatever else you might want to make, pancakes or waffles.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I'm making breads with a lot of whole grain, whole grains don't have a lot of gluten.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to start out with either a lot of gluten in the flour, or you need to add it as a separate ingredient. And this particular flour is King Arthur's unbleached bread flour. And this particular flour has a very, very high amount of gluten per cup. It's the highest amount of gluten that you can buy without getting into a commercial flour. And this is available, again, because bread making is fairly popular, this is also available at all your local markets. It typically sells for about a dollar more a bag than your standard off-the-shelf flours.
Mm-hmm.
But making certain breads, it's well worth it. I've gotten into rustic Italian breads that self-rise on a cookie sheet. They don't have the structure of a loaf pan to support them as they rise. The gluten is even more important in that type of bread.
Okay.
And this particular flour is the best possible flour for making yeast-risen breads.
And also a bread machine, too?
You could also use it in a bread machine.
Right. Now, in the recipes, do they specify what kind of bread? Because I think if you didn't know, you might choose a different or wrong flour. Do many of the recipes that you use or that you find in bread making book tell you exactly what you need?
Most of the better bread books tell you, they usually have an entire preface all about the different types of flour.
Okay.
And they go into the same details which I just covered.
Okay.
Different bread teachers have different brand preferences, but I don't know anybody that would stray away from King Arthur's brand as a consistently good brand for making bread, and that's what their claim to fame is their consistency.
Okay.
Other brands may be good in some bags and bad on others, but the King Arthur flour brand tends to be the most consistent, and I would certainly encourage people to try that or the Hecker's brand. Other brands that you find on the shelf, Pillsbury and the store brands, have made bread flours. They tend to be a little bit lower in gluten content than the King Arthur's and the Hecker's, but they're still fine. If they're a good buy, go ahead and try them.
Okay. And what else do you have here?